Throughout history, men and women have chosen one of three paths. Those who daily seek a personal relationship with God, unbelievers and believers who don't seek after God, and those who choose to ignore God. And as the prophets foretold, God will come to take his people home. No one knows the day or the hour. Without any warning, all infants, children, and many people mysteriously disappear. Terror and confusion reign the world over. For those left behind, the apocalypse has just begun.
The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting. This is Sean Kennedy being retarded on the internet for Monday, June 12, 2006. And this would be Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep for Co-Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends. For your headspace and timing, Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too, you passive-aggressive fuck. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, as well as getting all the handy-dandy book reviews on a wide variety of subjects, ranging from long, short, close-quartered combat, you know, anything you ever needed to know for your elementary school review book club, you can get off of my live journal. And you can get to my very widely read and well-written live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And I just added a new link for a website I discovered, actually, called counterterrorism.com, where they have a bunch of, so-called experts who I don't actually know if they're experts, but I was reading their issues, and they, if you want to get bleeding-edge stuff on the war on terror, all that good shit, definitely a good site to check out. Counterterrorism.com, linked up on the Sean Kennedy Live Journal website on the left-hand lower side. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, SRN1, and 99 Nuke FM. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, including burning this to disk and sending it to any Marine in Iraq, as well as any soldier overseas. Because here on the Sean Kennedy Show, I don't know about Rant Media, because most of them are a bunch of left-wing pathological psychos. Most of them, you know, are kind of that way. But me, no. No, I'm just slightly to the right of Rush Limbaugh. And because I've had enough of his vegan bullshit, I have killed Sim. And in his place, I brought in a buddy of mine who's a little bit he's not quite as right-wing as I am. My buddy, Mort, from the regiment. Say hello, Mort.
Hey, Sean. How's it going, everyone?
Good. That was wonderful. This is Mort's first time in radio, so he doesn't really understand that he probably shouldn't drink Slurpees and speak to a microphone at the same time. So how are you feeling about the whole radio experience so far? Is this working out for you, or what?
It's exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
I'm feeling regrets about killing Sumerian. Okay, well, let's get into some feedback right off the top, because then we can talk about that, and that usually works out well. Feedback. Dear Sean! Message. Okay, I was just listening to your MP3 from last week. This would be my newsreel show from the week before. And unfortunately, I guess that I worded my phrase weird. Yes, with a wording of a sentence like that, I imagine you worded your phrase weird. I was speaking about private military ops, such as Blackwater, and these are PMCs, is what they are, private military companies, such as Blackwater and such. I was wondering what your position on these operations are. Thanks, U.S. Cocker. So what do I think of PMCs? What do I think of them? Well, Mark, you first. What do you think of PMCs? What's your whole... We're talking mostly about morals. Are they good? Are they bad? Do they do good things? Do they do bad things? What are they a good way to go? What do we think about them? I think they should exist, shouldn't exist. What do you think?
Sure, why not? I mean, they're just mercenaries. They're just doing a job. They're just making money. They don't do good or bad things. They just do whatever they are to get paid.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, they definitely... I would say that they probably do bad things. I mean, burning a village down, you know, bad. Shooting people, bad. You know, I mean, you can be hired, like, for example, say Walmart could hire Blackwater to, you know, go into some third world country and quell a rebellion of labor forces. See what I'm saying? Like, so you are just a paid army. So are they, you know, what do you think? Do you think that's a good thing? Or?
Yeah, but they have the luxury of choosing their contracts. So it's just bad people or good people. I mean, there's going to be bad soldiers anyway.
Make sure you
work for the if they work for the American military, they're, or if they work for any military, you know, they still have the choice of being bad or a good soldier and getting away with it.
Right.
To be honest,
I don't know. I think they exist, which is most importantly. It doesn't really matter what my opinion of them are. They exist, and they're a factor. There's something you need to deal with. You know, I mean, they have to be around. And I think that generally people who work for organizations like that, they're worried about getting paid. I don't think there's a lot of moral judgment involved there. They exist, they are real, and I think that they're probably going to play a much larger role in the future. I myself, would you ever work for one? You're a soldier, you know what's going on with this stuff. Would you ever work for a PMC? Do you think you'd ever, you know, you personally, let's bring this home here. Do you think, would you say, hey, it's been good, but I can make $1,000 a day by going and working in Iraq?
I would have to really do a lot of research on the company, see what kind of contracts that they agree to.
Right, if you can find it, because that's not public domain.
Yeah.
Right, and you want to bet that these PMCs are going to have, like, locked, tight fucking research. Like, you're not going to get anything. Everything's non-disclosure, blah, 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 you know. So,
but, I mean, with those non-disclosure things, you can always find out what's going on by talking to the guys.
So, and what would you be looking for, you think? What would make or break it? Like, what would be warning signs, danger signs?
Probably if, you know, they talk about killing civilians. Or, you know, doing somewhat questionable things. I mean, good guidelines is the Geneva Convention.
Right, yeah. If you're part of Western culture, of course, any other culture around the world, nobody pays attention to that Geneva Convention worth a fuck. We're the only guys playing by those rules. You know, everybody else doesn't give a flying shit about the Geneva Convention. Al-Qaeda doesn't care. Africa really largely doesn't give a flying fuck about the Geneva Convention. China doesn't care. Geneva Convention, not really something they're concerned about. So, you know, I would say that war is shitty. War is really shitty. I'm not a fan of war. A lot of people think right-wing people are war hawks. I don't think that's the case. But I don't know. PMCs, personally, I don't think I'd do it. I don't think I'd do it. I'd be, for purely selfish reasons, although the money's good, there's not a lot of backup. You know what I mean? Like, those two guys got hung off that bridge in Fallujah. I mean, they were, one of them was a Navy SEAL instructor. You know, these guys were switched right on. You know, and they wound up getting fucked and... there's not a lot of backup for those guys. They got sent out with poor, you know, manning. They got sent on a bad route with an unarmored vehicle. There's a lot of sketchy shit. And everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So, I don't know. We'll see. But that, you know, generally, I think, what do I think of them? I think they exist. I think there's good and bad. But I definitely think they're going to be a factor in the future. That's for damn sure. Now, I commence getting shit. Dear Sean. Sean, as a law-abiding Canadian gun owner and gun scholar. Do you have paperwork for that? I have a bone to pick with you. Stop calling your Norinco M305 an M14. Yes, it is a clone of an M14, but it is not an M14. It has never been an M14. It'll never be an M14, period. Double exclamation points. Your action of referring to it as an M14 is only adding fuel to the brainless liberal anti-firearm agenda. I think you're actually, that's you're stretching a bit for that one. The M14 is a U.S.-issued combat weapon. Your Norinco M305 is... not. So do not refer to it as such, or I'll kill you. No, he didn't say that. Now, I'm sure you're not going to care one way or the other, since why the hell would ya? Just letting you know that it ticks me off, and many other gun owners as well, when people refer to their certain firearms in the proper military designation of the firearm, since it's not a military-issued firearm, and has never been one. All caps. 2 exclamation points. Besides, on your budget, you should probably got 3 SKSs instead of 1 M305. One for you, one for the Dark One, and one for the Vegan if he has the physical strength to shoulder the rifle and pull the trigger. Yes, the SKS is not nearly as good, but when things turn to shit, 3 armed friends is a lot better than just 1 armed man. I'm sure your buddies will help you, but there's always more is always better. Get yourself a Mossberg Remington pump action 12-gauge while you're at it. Never helps forget a 22 long-range rifle. Of course, I've got to carry all this shit, too. A lot of weapons to carry there. Sure, it's not a good anti-personnel weapon. Actually, a 22 is the most ballistically effective round ever made, but anyway... but its most prolific chambering and world ammunition is the easiest to find. You will not starve with a 22. In my humble opinion, the 22LR is not a firearm. It is a household staple. And if the liberal criminal syndicate really wanted to ban guns, they would ban lowly single-shot 22s first, since most, if not all, young shooters learn how to shoot with them. Sean, it's not an M14, no matter how many times you repeat it. He's gone back to the M14.
I know, he's
very
upset.
He's very upset about this M14 thing. But, I'll finish this. You should not use the same propaganda techniques as the core political you supposedly despise. Supposedly. Jesus, just by calling an M14, I've sided with the Prince of Darkness. What's with all the illegitimate authority worshiping coming out of you lately? Oh, my God. Yeah, well, we don't want people to get into trouble, but just how many Germans sat around staying out of trouble in the 1930s?
You're a Nazi.
Well, I'm a Nazi sympathizer, apparently. How many are staying out of trouble in the UK right now as the same thing happens, only even worse? Well, I don't know, even worse. I mean, you know,
there's Germans in England?
No, there'd never be Germans in England. I'm just saying that, you know, that I don't know of any death camps that are up in England or the UK right now. If the police enforce such laws, the actions really would... Are actions really how they are? Okay, let me try that again. If the police enforce such laws and actions, really, how are they any better than those who think up this crap? I don't really know what that was. Okay, do not feed me a line of shit about the above question, Sean. You're correct about trying to get through to the individual officers, though, Sean, and that is our only hope. But many aren't worth the breath. Cops are shit. And that's... He didn't say that. And that number is increasing with every graduating class from Regina. That's where all our cops come from. The percentage of urbanite liberal scum becoming officers is unsettling, to say the least. Awesome. Okay, hey. Actually, I should do that probably. One last thing. How does one get a date when you're a conservative gun owner who utterly despises popular culture and has to fight the urge to smash the sheepless iPods on a daily basis? From one true word. Now, that has got to be some pretty interesting stuff. So, I'll address your issues going down from the top. Now, in front of me, I have my Norinco purchase order, which, what does that say right there?
Let's see, 013265 Norinco M14S.
Yeah, sorry, that's what it actually says on my firearms purchase here. And, yeah, it says my model number here says M14S. That's what it's called. It is a clone. And it has been also referred to as an M305, but on the big box that I got shipped in gigantic not very nondiscreet packaging, it says in letters that are about 4 inches tall, M14/S. So, you know, I guess everybody's labeled it wrong. You know, it is not Springfield Armory's M14. You are absolutely correct. But, you know, I don't know. I've got a lot of paperwork and documentation. As a matter of fact, my gun registration is out that the Canadian government has told me that they acknowledge that I, in fact, own an M14. But I suppose it's not a Springfield Armory's M14, even though, you know, I'm not going to get all gun nerd on you here, because then I'm going to eventually going to have the gun culture coming back. And as it is right now, people are going to be like, whoa, because Norinco is like a cult, like the guys who follow you. If you go to CanadianGunNuts.com, it's like the unofficial M14 Norinco fan site. Like, they're crazy about that shit. But I appreciate what he's saying. It makes me nuts, for example, when people call magazines clips. Like, I loaded the magazine and I put it in the weapon, or I loaded the clip. A clip is that little strip that the ammunition comes on when you take it out of your bandolier, and then you use the clip to charge your magazine. It's a pet peeve. It makes me nuts when people say that. You know, but yeah, I got my M14. I'm very, very happy with my M14, and I haven't had a chance to go hammer off rounds with the M14. Right now, it's just a big scary club, but what a club it is! You know, you got anything to add to that at all?
Mort? Yeah, I don't know. Perhaps the clip magazine debate is also fueling the liberal propaganda.
Yes, that's true. If you were, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that by having a dispute that somehow, I mean, that's pretty political right there. But anyway, you know, I appreciate the feedback. Once you're in, and getting a date for someone such as yourself, I would highly advise hitting the most conservative born-again church you can find. To Sim and Sean, but Sim is not here, so ergo, vicariously, connected thereby, Mort and Sean. Just a quick note, my sister's boyfriend was visiting from California, and I commented on a shirt he was wearing. Really simple shirt, comfortable, looking, no logos. Reminiscent of our comfortable naval Under Armour long sleeve. He sent me a care package of black and white and dark gray. The company name is Standard American. I think they might go by the name American Apparel as well, but I'm not sure. Regardless, I was putting on a gray one today, and for the first time removing the tag, surprised by two things. One, a new designer shirt for only $25. American is really impressive. as best, especially for high quality long sleeve. The average is $40 or more. Really? Jesus. And two, there was a place on the tag where it said, this garment is sweatshop free. Something I thought you would appreciate. Now I wear this even more proudly. It has no company logo except for the inside tag. It is made without sweatshop labor. Cheap, durable, no logo, sweatshop free gear. Something you've talked about before. So I thought you might appreciate a heads up on a small designer that's making its name without a trail of blood. That's from Alien Binary. Very nice. And I'm all for, you know, not being a billboard. Sim is even more for not being a billboard. Walking around with, you know, the Tommy My Finger. You know, it's just, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. But I'm going to wear this gear. It's Alien Binary. Said so. And what the hell. If it's actually sweatshop free, because you never know. There's a lot of guys who say it's like the Body Shop. Did you know the Body Shop? They're all like against animal testing and all that shit. Well, they just got bought out. They just got bought out, I think, by L'Oreal. They got bought out by like a major, like not like huge animal testing company. Just bought the Body Shop. So it's like, oh yeah, well we're not doing animal testing. Yeah, but your owner is. Yeah, but the Body Shop products aren't tested. Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it? Because at this point, that's not a selling point. Because the company's there. So if you were buying Body Shop because you thought it was against animal testing, no more. Because they have officially, and I do mean officially, sold the fuck out. Dear Sean K., I got into an argument with my parents over something I consider by many to be trivial. I consider myself to be hygienic. Hygienic is not trivial. Bathing and changing clothes regularly. Very good. Glad there's lots of people listening to this program who do not bathe and change their clothes regularly. But there are some aspects of keeping clean that we know to be unhealthy. What? A product of caution this time is deodorant. True that. There's lots of aluminum in deodorant. I don't trust it. I wouldn't trust it either. I remember this one time. We were up the Mekong and the deodorant came for us. Oh, the tall dress. Not yeah. Bad. I'm not going to spray myself with a product containing all sorts of chemicals that will be absorbed by my skin just to smell nice for others. But frankly, if something is flammable and dangerous to breathe near, I don't want it on my skin. So aware of the cause of BO, I just put more emphasis on staying clean. Pores are clean, the sweat won't stink. However, my parents disagree. They're demanding I use deodorant, claiming that if I don't, I will inevitably smell, despite emphasis on staying clean. So I ask you, what is your view on this? Shall I use the spray and risk whatever long-term effects may cause? Or perhaps you know of a healthy alternative for someone who doesn't have time to mess around. Thanks for your advice. Annoyed Dragon in the UK. Well, okay. Luckily, I have the solution for you. First of all, people are telling you you should use deodorant. Don't think it's because they're concerned about your health. They're concerned because you fucking stink. So, and the way they're telling you, dude, you fucking reek, is by saying, hey, what kind of deodorant do you use? I don't use any. Really? Perhaps you should consider it, because you smell fucking bad. So, what I use, I have no idea what this shit is called, but do I reek? Do I naturally have a bad BO?
No.
Right. So what I would recommend is I use this rock crystal stuff. I don't know if you see it. Any natural, it's usually you smoke it and you don't smell bad. No, what it is it's like a rock that you get wet and you just kind of rub it on your pits or whatever. And that is a deodorant. And it's all natural. As well, if you don't happen to find that shit, that's one you'll see. You'll go, oh, there's that rock crystal stuff that Sean was talking about. If you go to any organic shop, health food shop, hippie commune shop, whatever, and say, dude, I want some. There's a Jimmy whack of non-evil deodorants and deodorant products to use, as well as, mix and match. Find something that works that's, you know, pretty clean. Don't go with heavily perfumed stuff. Some of it smells like, oh, look, patchouli. I feel like I'm at Lilith Fair. Yeah, don't do that. You know, just get stuff that's, like, maybe something with not too much of a smell. And then if you want to use, like, an essence or an odor, you can use the Navras, which I referred to in patrolling. Change up, you know, so you got like a bit of a cologne there. I use the Navras and refer to an episode of Patrolling to check that out. So I guess before we get into the news, and there you go, Annoying Dragon. So I guess before we get into the news, people are very concerned because I published on my live journal that I'm going to be gone for the summer. And with Sim dead and me going away for the summer, it's pretty intense. You know, it's pretty intense. A lot of people are concerned. What about Newsreel? What about Newsreel? Well, what about me? Doesn't anybody care about me? It's always about, you know, everybody else. No one gives a fuck about me. And you're going away this summer, too.
Yep.
We're going away to Kingston. That's all we'll say for now. The rest of it, we're taking top secret kill bad guy courses. That's what we're doing. we're joining the crazy net. No, we're just doing stuff. And there's a chance that that Mort and I are actually going to be in Kingston at the same time. Have you got your travel orders?
Yep.
You've got your travel
orders. Yeah.
Do you know when you're flying out?
July 9th.
9th?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
July.
Right, of July, right. Now I'm flying out.
Not yesterday.
Before then. Not, I was like, good God, how the hell are you here? You're going to be AWOL. And as for myself, well, I'm going to be leaving on the 26th. Well, my course starts on the 26th, so God only knows when they'll fly me in there.
24th.
Think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's hoping. So that means I get to slip my thumb up my ass, or I get at least 24 hours to find my way to my bunk somewhere on the base, which will be interesting. And apparently, rumor has it, that we might have a chance of heading to Afghanistan as early as start the train up for it in September.
Yeah.
So that's because apparently there's a couple of guys who did exactly what I'm doing right now, who managed to, you know, land themselves on the course. They need guys. There's a shooting war over there, and it looks like what's real is real. So as to the nature of the newsreel show, I can't promise anything because I don't know what my schedule is going to be like. I mean, I'm going to be running around. There's, you know, all sorts of Paris Island shit going on. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing out there. I might be training like a crazy person. I might have time to do a show here or there, make a recording, upload it through the magic of digital media back to Sim, and he can throw it out, give you guys an update once in a while or whatever. I like to try to do that. I can't promise anything. Probably more than likely not, but I will be updating the live journal. As for patrolling, worry not, because Sim has all the patrolling media already recorded, and he's just putting it together and sending it out. But I'll be able to update anyone who's worried about me over the coming months and year or whatever. You could probably look at patrolling. Or, pardon me, look at my live journal site. You'll be able to figure out what's going on from there. And besides, you got lots of newsreel archives. Tons of archives. I'm busy, okay? I got work to do. Paying gig. Gotta do it. So, unfortunately, hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles. And after all, you know, it's part of the reason why I'm doing this is defend our magnificent culture. Speaking of our magnificent culture, what a great segue into the news we have in music news by Debrimi. Sent me this story. He sends me amazing stories, actually, I should add. Thank you very much, Debrimi. He's a good guy. Adding a new twist in the music industry's search just for the right way to sell digital tunes to prevent piracy, EMI Music said on Tuesday it has agreed to become the first label to make its catalog available on an ad-supported peer-to-peer network. EMI said it would make music from its catalog available on to O-Trax, which bills itself as the world's first ad-supported legitimate peer-to-peer service. I don't know. I don't trust that. I just kind of look at that and go, eh, isn't that interesting? But so now they're trying to go a little bit more legit with ad services and things like that. I don't know if I agree with that whole peer-to-peer. I mean, what is your take on the whole paying for music, Mort? What do you think about that? What's your viewpoint on this whole thing? Mike, up here.
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, it's a lot of money for the CDs. I don't know how much money that they use making and producing music, but a lot of people can support themselves on their concerts alone. So, I don't know.
It is difficult. I mean, you know, you look at bands like Kiss, you know, I mean, it's hard because, you know, as an artist myself, you know, as people, I give away my stuff for free. People are downloading this for free. But I find that just like, you know, when you do stuff for free, people feel that suddenly they're entitled to it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, if you're leaving, how am I going to get my show? You know, that's like, well, thank you. Thank you very much for your concern. You know, that sort of bothers me a little bit. So I'm kind of like going, well, you know, there's lots of ways to get music and stuff like that. And I think that if you're a fan of the band, really, you're going to support the band. You know what I mean? Like, if you got fans, I mean, I buy tons of music because I support the bands that I enjoy, especially small bands. And you should always support, you know, independent bands, indie bands. Go to the shows, buy the gear, buy the swag, buy the t-shirt, buy the CDs. Because, you know what? That's what keeps these people alive. Otherwise, they won't be able to keep making music that you enjoy. Now, this is an interesting story here. In Shine Job News, taken from Pitch Black, term Shine Job. From Mr. Templer, sent me this one here. Brentwood, Tennessee. When Camille Walters plays soccer, her normally brown eyes have a spooky red tint. That's because Camille is possessed by Satan. Oh, okay, I didn't say that. The 15-year-old wears tinted contact lenses. This is interesting. That can block certain wavelengths of light to help athletes see better. Oh, and they look cool, too. It gives me more confidence because you feel intimidating and bigger and stronger by wearing contacts. Kind of an ego booster, said Walters, who plays for Father Ryan, a Catholic high school in Nashville, Tennessee.
It is the devil.
You feel bigger, stronger, and intimidating. And she plays for a Catholic school. Yes, yes. She plays for Benedictine's Brown Shirts. Walters and a Walters and a growing number of athletes wearing the Max Sight lenses, which are developed jointly by Nike Incorporated and the Pope. And the contact lens maker, Bausch and Lohm. Good German company there. The lens, large enough to extend rings around the iris, comes in two colors, amber and gray-green. Now, this is a weird one. The amber, I understand, it's like shooting glasses. I think that's pretty sexy, actually, to be honest with you. The amber contact lenses is pretty fucking cool, right? Because you're like wearing shooting glasses all the time. It's like, yeah, bitch. The amber lens is for fast-moving ball sports, such as tennis, baseball, football, soccer, or full-contact machine gun combat. Gray-green is for better, is for blocking glare for runners and helping a golfer read the counter contour off the ground. Interesting. I've never heard of gray-green lenses before. Have you ever heard of gray-green lenses ever, or what? I'm not sure.
The ones I wear actually are tainted. Tainted.
They're tainted?
Tainted. They're tainted with green. No, they're tinted.
Now I come to... Anyway. Professional athletes, like Camille, tested the lenses last year before they were rolled out for general sales. Golfer Mitchell Wee and baseball player Ken Griffey Jr. and A.G., whatever the hell that is, P9, wear Max Sight lenses along with members of Manchester United, the U.S. men's soccer team.
Oh, wow, they do so well.
The Manchester United?
U.S. men's soccer team. I can really see an improvement in their performance. I think they lost.
Did they get schooled? Oh, yeah, I guess it's soccer.
Well, of course.
And the Texas. You know, I'm upset why we don't have an Iranian and an Israeli soccer team matchup. That's what I want to see, you know? You'd be like, he's coming in on the goal. Oh, and he exploded. Oh, fuck. He blew himself up.
Is that a goal? Or let's have a look at the replay.
Yeah, oh, let's watch the replay. Oh, and the Israelis have Pop Smoke, and they built a wall across the field, and they're beginning to shoot people with silencers. The bulk of the business, we expect, will be from the college high school type athlete who is really looking for the edge.
Yeah.
Nike spokeswoman Joni Como said, we've seen that the sales are far exceeding our expectations, and we're going to continue to roll out distribution. Sports lenses can be purchased through a doctor's office at a cost of $80 per box, $160 for prescriptions for the eye varies. So you just buy them straight up, which is kind of neat. I mean, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Good way to get around, you know, if your RSM won't let you wear non-issue kit. Dr. Jeff Kergeis, what the hell is up with these guys' name? An optometrist whose office is in the natural suburb of Brentwood, Tennessee, has already prescribed the lenses for our college baseball players, golfers, equestrian riders, and tennis players. He's prescribed it. You know, because optometrists know a lot about baseball, golf, and equestrian stuff. Equestrian riders are weird. They're weird.
Yeah.
Horse people are fucking strange. No stranger than any other culture. Like, you're a diver, right?
Yeah.
Diving culture is pretty weird, you know?
I
guess I just get upset because horse riders don't pick up their poop. That's what bugs me. Yeah, you know, I mean, if I go for a walk with my dog, I got to pick up the poop. You know, but horse riders, no poop pickup required. I can hear Epona right now. She's going to be all fucking freaking out on me. But no, seriously, it's like, you know, this thing drops a basketball on the side of the goddamn road, and, you know, you're all like, oh, don't mine. You know, you got to watch out for that shit.
You need garbage bag and a snow shovel.
Yeah, one of those dudes who run around at the end of the parade or whatever.
Yeah.
The first reaction from the first two people I fit in this, they went outside and said, this is really cool. It's like wearing sunglasses outside. Even though the amber is intended for outdoor use, he has an arena football league player who uses them indoors because of the bright lights. So that's kind of neat. But what I want is I want the iridium ones. I want the mirrored lenses, you know, so you can actually look really cyberpunk, because that'd be sweet. I'm waiting for the mirrored contact lenses. And there was a guy out of Germany, and this guy fell off the planet. I don't know if you heard about this, but there's this dude in Germany. What he'd do is he would use a laser to measure your eye, like exactly. And then he would make a lens for your eye that custom fit each eye that would perfectly, like, seat onto your lens perfectly. And apparently when you were wearing these things, you could see 9 times better than a cat could at night. It had, like, this built-in night vision quality to it. And this guy just fell off the fucking planet. Nobody knows what happened to this guy. So I'm like, hey. What happened to those fucking lenses? I mean, I'm sure people reviewing the archives will be able to find that show where I talk about this guy. Da-na-na. Never hear shit about it. Never hear shit about it. In Big Brother news, sent in by Mr. Jones. Mr. Wendell. The Home Office is under fire for allowing foreign agencies access to the National DNA Database. This is in Britain, I believe. Following the news 2 weeks ago that the ID card database will be shared. Liberal Democrat Home Affairs spokeswoman Lynn Featherstone. There's a name. Featherstone. Asked in Parliament whether foreign law enforcement can already access DNA data. Home Office Minister Joan Ryan confirmed that since 2004 they've received 519 requests in what, 2 years for UK DNA from abroad. No records are available from the time before that, she added. Featherstone said yesterday, "What confidence can we have in the government's reassurance of the DNA database having proper safeguards until last year? They didn't even collate requests properly until last year." So, I mean, this is interesting. We're talking about protecting your DNA information. Because, you know, there's a lot of call on the street. It's like, "Hey, buddy, psst, do you want to buy some DNA? Hey, come on, it'll be hot. You want to buy some DNA?" I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's something. I mean, you don't want to be a data litter bug. But, you know, I guess this sort of stuff here is, I don't think we can get around this. I think you may as well, like, you know, pucker up, princess, break out the loop, because I think you're going to get fucked. And there's not much you can do about it. It's kind of like, you know, the coming New World Order. You know, not much you can do about it. What are you going to do? You going to go protest? You going to go rattle some signs? That'll work. I think the better idea would be probably try to infiltrate and do some good stuff on the inside versus getting yourself, you know, all arrested and thrown in a cattle car. So, I mean, it's just a thought. You know, that's just me, but I could be way off base here. What do you think?
We'll go back up. It talks about misuse.
Oh, does it?
Well, it sort of like it leaves it open to being misused, but really explaining how it could be misused. I'm not sure, like, what they're going to go sequence themselves a clone of you.
And then your clone could commit crimes.
Well, it's totally ridiculous. I mean, the amount of information that we have on DNA right now, it's right. We can measure it, and we can write it down, and we can store the data, but what are they going to do with it? I mean, it's used as a police database. That's it.
They could invade your privacy.
I mean, they could sequence it, right? They could spend millions of dollars sequencing out your DNA and discovering what kinds of diseases you could possibly have.
What if women around the world took my DNA and wanted to make babies out of me?
I'd have all these
illegitimate children, because, like, there's a lot of women who write me love mail all the time are like, "Sean, you are the hottest shit ever." You
know, well, I mean,
have my child.
That's what you could tell people. If there is a lot of illegitimate love childs, you could say, "Well, it's because obviously they sequenced my DNA and impregnated themselves rather than the traditional."
That's right. Manner. That's right, right. Because I, you know, adhere to, you know, my marriage vows, and I can't do that.
Exactly. So that's the only explanation.
Right. So, to prevent the illegitimacy of thousands of UK children, keep the teeth of the world beautiful. Don't clone British DNA. In Technomage News. Now, this is interesting. This is actually a neat story. Also by Debrimi. Imagine that. Now, this is one of these short articles that just, you know, slides by. And nobody pays any attention to it. But it's kind of, and it was just like, poof, it's gone. And then you never hear from it again. But now, you think of that, those contact lenses I just talked about. Let you see nine times better than a cat can at night, right? Well, check this out. Australian researchers say magnetic fields could make ordinary people capable of extraordinary mental feats. Now, I draw attention to extraordinary mental feats. Ranger, you be a good dog and go lay down on the couch. Otherwise, I will sell you to the Koreans. A joint venture of the Australian National University and the University of Sydney investigated whether repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation, okay, that's TMS, can improve a healthy person's ability to guess accurately the number of elements in a scene. So, guess accurately. So what they're saying here in science speak is boosting telepathy. They're talking about psychic is what they are. The number of elements, is there a chair in here? What there's a chair, there's a bunch of stuff in this. It's like remote viewing. The study was published in this month in the journal Perception. Participants in the study were presented with 50 to 150 random elements on a monitor. 10 of the 12 participants improved their ability accurately to guess the number of elements immediately following TMS treatment to the left anterior temporal lobe. The left anterior temporal lobe. Break out the magnet at home, strap it to the side of your left anterior temporal lobe. A skill that receded an hour later, the newspaper said. So you get a helmet, right? Get a helmet, build your left anterior temporal lobe, get a great big fucking magnet in there, strap it on, and you've got blind psychic snipers who can see in the dark with the right contact lenses. But that's interesting, though. I mean, that's definitely some pretty cyberpunky kind of stuff going on there. I don't know what that's about, but it's pretty interesting stuff. And keeping on that cyberpunk kind of flavor, very Ghost in the Shell. That's very Ghost in the Shell. In cyborg news, this is something that's been a bit of a break. And in Ion sent me this one. U.S. scientists have created a sensor that can feel the texture of an object to the same degree of sensitivity as a human fingertip. This is cool. I mean, sex dolls alone. The team says the tactile sensor could, in the future, aid minimally invasive surgical techniques by giving surgeons a touching sensation. The research is reported by the Journal of Science. If you look at certain status of these tactile sensors, the frustration has been that the resolution of these devices in the range of millimeters, explained Professor Ravi Saraf, an engineer from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, United States, and the co-author of the paper. Whereas the resolution of the human fingertip is about 40 microns, about half the diameter of a human hair, this has affected the performance of these devices. Professor Saraf and colleagues of Dr. Vivek Maheshwari, also from the University of Nebraska, were able to attain this high level of sensitivity by creating the very thin film made up of layers of metal and semiconducting nanoparticles flanked at the top and bottom by electrodes. Holy crap. When the film touches the surface, any pressure or stress is squeezed by the layers, squeeze the layers of particles together. This causes the current of the film to change and light is emitted by the particles, an effect known as the electroluminescence. The visible light can be detected by a camera. The beautiful thing is that we have managed to make the device in such a way the amount of current exchange or light you get is exactly proportional to the stress that you apply. The harder you press, the brighter the light, and therefore you have measurable data to work with. To demonstrate the high sensitivity of the device, the scientists pressed a U.S. one-cent coin against the sensor and revealed the wrinkles in President Lincoln's clothing and the letters T.Y. in Liberty. So very cool, you know, and this is real. This isn't vaporware. You know, they're talking about application for this, and I'm sure we can all think of the good people at Real Doll. Very interested in this technology. You know, I'm serious. The first guys to come up with a interactive sex doll, you know, because personally, I'm not putting any wiggly bits into a machine that I know doesn't have touch sensors, you know, because I'm like, not so good. The blue screen of death takes on an entirely new venue. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that can be done with that. Now, in Cop Watch news, this is interesting news. In Cop Watch news, maybe this is not the most futuristic or advanced technology in the world, but it sure is useful. This is kind of interesting. I've thought about stuff like this before, but I guess somebody's finally done it. A Canadian company called JR Wireless wants to let you know where the speed traps are before you get caught in them. The Speed Trap Alert Service brings an idea to Canada that's been around for several years already in Europe. All you have to do is send a text message from your phone, including the highway you will be driving and the area you will be cruising around. You will receive a text message detailing the speed traps that have been identified in the area. Very interesting. I don't know how current it is. It's definitely something to look at, though, and you can see how, you know, getting, you know, automatically put it in. I mean, what if OnStar or one of these kind of guys were to go and, you know, have this, so you're like, you have a speed trap approaching enemy nearby. Now a ticket can be costly, so I think it's worth the texting price this company charges. Of course, there's also the cost from your service provider. Each message you receive will cost you 50 cents. Good God. Though the first 20,000 that the company sends will be for free as an introductory offer. 20,000. I wonder if that's a typo. 20,000 speed traps updates. Can't imagine how long it would take to burn out 20,000 speed trap updates. But anyway, service starts today in Ontario, Quebec, and will expand further if it is successful. Maybe the next thing will be a laser detector on your cell phone, which would be, you know, I don't know. I think that, aren't those illegal? Those are pretty
radar illegal. Detectors are, yes, technically illegal.
Are they?
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, it's just because they do what they do. They detect HF burst transmissions, really not really radar splash.
Right.
Right? So it's it gets set off by like different types of radios that the police use. But yeah, it is technically illegal because it it's designed to detect police cars.
I wonder if you could use those in Iraq. I mean, because if these guys are using wireless detonators, of course, it's usually using cell phones, right? So it wouldn't be set off by cell phones.
Yeah, usually cell phones or VHF transmitters, which is a different type of
frequency.
Yeah.
Right. In pharmafascism news, a condition which makes people lash out violently for no reason is vastly underdiagnosed, says U.S. research. This kind of shit makes me crazy. Yeah. Alien Binary sent me this one. As many as 16 million Americans have been affected by intermittent explosive disorder.
Wow, that IEDs.
IEDs.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if this is a gag. Seriously, this is intermittent explosive, an IED, which the sufferer displays unwarranted violent outbursts.
Such as exploding.
Such as blowing up. A study in the archives of general psychiatry showed 4% of the U.S. population had severe IED within three or more outbursts in the past year. An experiment said cultural differences in the U.K. could mean the rate was lower. IED is clearly defined in the Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-IV, but no one really knows how people might be affected by the disorder. Well, in fact, you'd be like, fuck this, I hate the rain, I'm going to start shooting. To be diagnosed with an IED, this is crazy, an individual must have three episodes of impulsive aggressiveness, which are grossly out of proportion with the situation, such as that seen in case of road rage or domestic violence. Now, both of those cases, road rage cracks me up because I don't believe it exists. There's just rage. And domestic violence is no different from violence. You know, they call it domestic violence, like somehow it's not as bad or something. But violence is fucking violence. The person must lose control suddenly and break out or smash something, hit or try to hurt someone, or threaten to hurt someone. I don't know, I might have this IED disorder. I think that the majority of my listeners have this IED disorder. I think you, Mort, have this IED disorder.
Yeah, you know.
Researchers from Harvard Medical School and Chicago University assessed results from the National Face-to-Face Survey of 9,282 adults, which carried out between 2001 and 2003. Many of the people who tried to get the adults to fill out the survey were beaten up and therefore, no, they found that 7.3% of the population could be classed as having IEDs, as they previously had three or more aggressive outbursts at a much higher rate than previously estimated. Some people just have a bad fucking day, you know? It's just one of those days, you know? I mean, that's one of those things. Around 8 million adults had the most severe form of IED, which are much more frequent outbursts. Overall, the person with IED will carry out 43 attacks. 43 attacks when? This month? This year? In their lifetime?
Their lifetime on average, I think.
On the 43 IED attacks. That's it. I'm building a bomb in my toolbox.
IED.
Yeah, then I'll have my IED attack. I think that's happy horseshit. I really do. I can't get into that at all.
It's sort of like the whole idea is that you're only normal if you don't really have any emotions, good, bad, or anything.
Wasn't there a movie just came out with a guy and his mom died and he was on meds and he didn't even recognize that his mom died, so he went off the meds and now it's all about him coming off meds and being off of antidepressants.
I don't think I've seen that movie, but I think it probably exists.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'm sure everybody's screaming the name of the movie right now at the screen. I think it's called
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
No, it's Green Fields of something or Waking Up something or The Picnic at the Edge of Forever or something like that. It's some fucked up name. Anyway, today's Daily Hack is a very, very, very cool, a small and simple but very powerful USB charger for your MP3 player, camera, cell phone, or any other gadget. You can plug your USB port into charge. Yeah. It's neat. It uses two AA batteries that fits into an Altoids gum tin. Will run your iPod for hours, 2.5 times more than if you use from a 9-volt USB charger. You can reuse rechargeable batteries as well. Some numbers, iPod videos, 3 hours or more of video on one full recharge. iPod mini for 25 hours, 1.5 full recharges. iPod shuffle, 60 hours of music or more for 5 full recharges. And it weighs, with 2 AA batteries, 3.5 ounces. This project is suitable for beginners. Some soldering tools are necessary, but if you've never soldered before, you should be pretty easy. You can either etch a circuit board and or breadboard of this up, or you can simply buy the kit. And very cool. Very cool. I like stuff that's rechargeable. I don't think some of the stuff that bugs me about USB rechargers is that you can't recharge it in the field. Kind of shitty. Trying to get past that. Hmm. And, yeah. I guess that's all I have for you today, but don't worry, I will be back. Well, actually, I may or may not be back next Monday because I might already be gone. I've got to do, being tasked out to do some work next weekend, but I'm sure we'll work something out to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive and make sure you check with my live journal to find out what's going on. I'm going to at least do one more show because I want to get, if I'm not going to do a show for a while, I got to make sure Sim's on there, so you're at least going to get one more show out of it. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 40 donators. So, and special thanks to everyone who does donate. Thank you very much. Please continue to donate. It is nice. Helps keep the archives going, all that good stuff. Well, actually, it doesn't. It doesn't actually help keep the archives going. I wouldn't want to lie. Generally goes to me. So if you want to support me, please donate. which is nice. If not, well, I guess you can't really demand the show, can you? If you would like to help keep this weekly podcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Click on the donate tab because, hey, every little bit helps. Thank you very much. And thanks again to everyone that assists in gathering data. If you access sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by KMFDM called How Rock. And I'm going to leave you now with a really cool tune, which I'm not too sure which cool tune it'll be yet, but I'll find it, and then it'll be really cool. So do you have anything else you want to add, Mort?
No, not particularly. No.
Not really now? Okay, well, until next time, that is what Server said. End of line.
And I'm late.